Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 122 of the Self-Help Podcast. With me, Ed Lamb, stuttering as ever, and yeah, Sean Orford, how are you doing?
Okay, I've got a bit of frog in my throat today.
Dressed in your lycra finery.
Yeah, I've been out running with Conrad this morning.
Joy. So, nice morning for it, isn't it? Quite bright and breezy.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. It's good to be back into it. It makes me feel better, but I've got a bit of a tight chest at the moment, so...
Slightly related to what we're talking about today, because it's play, really, running, isn't it? It's just having fun.
Well...
I know it's exercise.
Yeah.
But what's the root? Why do we run, really, hey?
Because it makes me feel good.
That's why you should do it.
Yeah. I think that's the key to most things, isn't it? If it feels good, do it. If it doesn't, do it.
Yeah.
Your emotions are like litmus paper. They tell you what's good and what isn't.
Yeah, so that's a little key. We're talking about why we stop playing today, aren't we? Or why adults tend to play less than kids.
Yeah.
Today's topic. We'll dive into that. How you been?
I'm good. I'm good. Like I say, back into running, which is great. And I am making a commitment on air. I've got timber being delivered after we finish today.
Yeah.
And I'm back in the attic, and my aim is that it will be completely finished by the end of this year. It will be completely finished.
We should do a live Periscope app broadcast of when we first get up there.
So have a webcam.
So when we both fall through the ceiling, everyone can watch.
Yeah. Hiya! We're in.
Yeah. Cool. Excellent. Yeah, no, I'm back in the swing of it nicely as well. Business is going well. Got lots on the go this week because I've had an office in Liverpool for a few months now, and it's made me raise my game quite a bit actually. So,
does it make you feel more kind of in role?
I think so.
Having an office,
yeah.
The amount of people that I know that work from home and they're on the phone, but they'll go and put a suit on and dress for the part.
See, I never did that. I was never like hanging around in my slippers and I would wear slippers. I wouldn't work in my pajamas and stuff like that. I didn't put a suit on and stuff. But I'm dressing smarter. I'm hanging out with more folks than I used to, shaking hands and all that stuff. So it's cool.
Yeah.
Enjoying it, actually.
You've got to be out there, haven't you? That's the thing.
Yeah. The hustle and the bustle, but still loving the podcast, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't ever let this go. Don't you worry. Ever.
It's the highlight of your week.
Quick, if you're a newbie to the show, liveinthepresent.co.uk is where you can go and find out all about us, all the archived shows, lots of other goodies on the site as well, as a text comes in. It's my business partner. You can wait. It's not important. Should we dive into this week?
Yeah.
I don't think this is one that you came up with, actually, so no listeners to thank for this one. But
No, it was. People were talking to me about play.
Okay. Cool.
So it was a suggestion.
Well, there's a quote which I've actually seen attributed to a couple of people, Ben Franklin and George Bernard Shaw. We don't stop playing because we grow old, we grow old because we stop playing, which I'm sure folks have heard before. Kind of seems to make a bit of sense, that, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I want to pull this apart a little bit in the sense that I think there's two forms of play, and I'm not sure that one form of play is play in one sense. But we need to kind of bite into the two halves of it. Because two children together play, and they're just playing. And there's no product to the play. Whereas lots of adult play is about achieving a goal, as in football. And
scoring a goal.
Yeah, and you've got winners and losers, haven't you?
Yeah.
And so what we describe as playing becomes something which is actually more of a task. It's more like work. We have to achieve something.
Yeah.
So I think that in that sense, I call it productive play when you've got to achieve something, and passive play when you're just playing. There's no outcome. There's no goal.
Yeah, that's something I think what we need to aim for a bit more as grown-ups, isn't it? Because, you're going running, which that would be productive play, because you're trying to live longer, basically, aren't you?
But it's passive in the sense that I just go out and have a run around. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to achieve anything or get anywhere. I'm just going for a run. I mean, I'm not trying to run a marathon. You know, I'm not trying to get faster.
You were, though.
Yeah.
And, you were quite into all your...
And that was when I damaged my legs and stuff.
Ah.
But at the moment, I'm just playing. I'm just going for a run. So when I ordered the timber for today, I went out and went... And I kind of jogged around a bit, jogged down to the timber yard, ordered the timber, jogged on, did another job. And I said, like, I was kind of... Rather than walking places, I was... Or driving, I was jogging places. And that was quite good, you know. But that sense of, is something productive or isn't it? You know the idea, it's not winning, it's playing the game that counts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the winning is the productive part, and just playing the game is playing.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, and you see that with, you know, professional footballers, I guess. You know, they've obviously played football their whole lives, and as kids they do it just for the heck of it, and then all of a sudden... Someone spots they have potential, and then they start getting earning big bucks, and they're missing out playing with their pals. They've got to train every day, and
it's productive, then, isn't it? And I think that's the thing when we talk about work and play, is that when you start to get into a team, or you know you're playing tennis and you've got to win, it started to become work.
Yeah,
it ceased to be play. So to me, play, in essence, is a passive thing. It's not an active, goal-driven thing. Because as soon as it becomes goal-driven, it ceases to be play for me. It can be exercise, it can be organisation, it can be other things that may be good for you.
Mm.
But to me, it's not within my definition of play. About you? What about you? What do you think?
No, I go along with that. Yeah, I mean, I try to think my play these days is... Well, two forms, you know. I've got two young kids, so... mucking around, rolling around with them all the time is just, you know...
Rough and tumble,
it's all part of the fun. I've got two boys, obviously, so I can see that they're learning to play together and the things that it's teaching them. It's quite interesting watching the process of, as we grow up, the stages you go through as kids. Jacob, he's one next month, so he's still with kind of... He'll pick up anything and just play with it. He's more interested in, like, a wooden spoon than all these toys... people showering with and stuff, all these expensive bits and bobs which lie around the house. But then, you know, I can see through William the stages he's gone through, because he's obviously into Duplo now, building things.
Yeah.
You can see the production there, because he could Duplo, then he'll go to Lego, and then who knows, he might be an architect one day. So is an architect playing when he's designing and drawing? And...
But it depends, doesn't it? Because I think that some of it is the way that we approach it. Because... anything that we're doing can be done in a playful way.
Yeah.
I have a very stark experience at the moment. My father-in-law, Mike, who's a lovely, lovely guy, is quite poorly.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's doing hospital trips and stuff like that. But the thing that's profound about him is he's got this amazing sense of humour, and he always has done.
Yeah.
And he's got a wicked laugh when he laughs. But when he's in a situation where he's in hospital and people are doing tests on him and stuff like that, and he's joking with the people that are doing tests, and he's laughing, and that is a form of play.
Yeah.
And it's kind of mischievousness, you know what I mean, playing.
Yeah, that's cool.
Which is what I mean, I guess, about we can approach any project or any activity from the point of view of playing.
Yeah.
It can be fun.
Well, I mentioned the biography I read of, the film director, Danny Boyle.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the interview book that I read with him a couple of weeks ago. And, yeah, you can tell that that's how he works, just by playing. You know, and he gets these big budgets, what, 10, 15, 20 million pounds for a film. And that's, you know, he doesn't use... That could be a lot of pressure to just a lot of people, but for him it's more, let's just go have some fun with it, you know.
Yeah.
I think.
I see that in the workplace, in that if you're going to be at work for 7 hours, 8 hours, whatever, you can either approach it from the point of view of being, you know, terribly serious and terribly stressed and whatever, or you can approach it from the point of view of it's fun. And the thing is that it's the same 8 hours, whether you're uptight and worried about it, whether you're kind of enjoying it and joking and having some fun while you're doing it. It's the same work.
Yeah.
But it's the attitude of mind. So I think that as you were talking just then, what it triggered in my mind was the idea that fun and play go together. As soon as it stops being fun, maybe that's when it stops being play.
Yep.
Maybe.
That's a potential theory there you've got going, Sean. Yeah. What have we got going here? Yeah, what else have we got? I mean, yeah, I've got the go-kart thing in my life as well, which I haven't been racing that much recently because I've just been too darn busy with things.
But is it that when you're in the go-kart, is it the fun of driving around the track and having lots of fun doing it? Or is it you've got to win? You've got to get over the line first?
Well, no, we're not good enough to win, so...
It has to be fun. It has to be play.
It's got to be fun. Yeah, yeah. And it's not just the fun of being on track. It's quite good fun setting the cart up because you've got to put the tyres on. You've got to stick all the bodywork on after we've got it out of the car. Once you've been out on track once, you've got to tweak the settings a bit. You've got to think, the tyre pressure's not right. So that's where the fun comes. And as we grow older, they're the things that start to appreciate more in life, all these little fine little details, isn't it?
Mm.
We don't all play with Duplo our whole lives. Although
maybe we should.
To be fair, I went through a phase with Will. I'm sure we will change up soon. Where I would just get in and I just play with Duplo with him because it's so cool.
Yeah.
Just building these things.
Yeah,
and you just get probably lost in it.
It's nice when they have a nursery, like preschool. And they open it to the adults in the evening, and the adults can come in and do like foot painting and stuff like that. And just play with it, yeah.
So should we talk about some of the benefits of play?
If you look at different kinds of play, maybe, in the sense that there can be playing which is moving your body around, and I would include things like dancing in that as well.
Yeah.
But again, you could go to Salter dancing and you could be going there to play and have fun, or you could be going there being really serious because you've got to get the move just right.
You've got the championships coming up and you get
obsessive about it. So I think that an activity like that can switch from fun and play to serious and work.
Yeah.
But if you do physical play, then obviously the benefits are going to be that you keep your body moving, that you keep your body supple, cardiovascular fitness, you lose weight. There's all kinds of things that go along with that.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, maybe someone doing an exercise class, aerobics, aqua aerobics, maybe they're to lose weight. Maybe that's the goal, but maybe they're there playing.
Yep.
And the losing weight is the byproduct of the play rather than the serious focus of where they're there. Yeah,
that makes sense.
There's physical stuff. Then I think there's social play, which is about teams, friendships, cooperation, that kind of stuff. That's cool.
Sure.
Yeah. Intellectual play, sitting down doing, I don't know, Scrabble, chess, all those kinds of things, where you're exercising intellect and brain.
Sure, yeah. No, I've got the train to work yesterday, and I'm sure, you know, a surprising number of people doing crosswords on them, you know, and stuff like that.
I started doing crosswords recently. I just came up with a thing on the iPhone.
Right, yeah.
And I've never done crosswords before, but it does, it exercises your brain, makes you think.
Yeah, well, I know Sudoku is still a big thing. I got into that for a while. And
I've never done a Sudoku. You have to show me how to do that.
Oh, yeah, it's quite good fun, yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool.
9 squares, and you have to get all the numbers right.
Yeah, you have to use all the numbers. I think each row, a column, has to add up to 9.
Uh-huh.
Maybe? No, that can't be right, because then 9 plus 2 plus... Yeah, I can't remember. I can't remember how to do it. You have to use all the numbers in a little... But then you can get more... You can get, like, 3, you know, 9 by 9 as well.
Yeah, right, so it gets complicated.
You've got to use every letter in one row there, every number. I don't know. I can't remember. I did get in for a while. My dad's big on Sudoku.
All right. But it's that, isn't it? It's exercising the grey matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting it going. We know that the issue of about if we learn new things, we get new brain cells. And one of the things about playing and learning skills in playing is that you're going to get new brain cells. So it's things like Alzheimer's and dementia get pushed back because your brain's renewing all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's cool. Well, you talked about before you go for a run, you visualise it as well earlier on.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd lie in bed visualising the run, building a forward memory of the run, and then get out of bed and go and do the run.
Yeah.
But that visualised part of our system, when you're using visualisation and contemplation, you're exercising the limbic bit of the brain and the prefrontal cortex, and you're starting to develop that part of your system.
Well, these are all things we've got. There's a helpguide.org. Link which I'll put in the show notes on our website, which is, you know, it's got lists of reasons why we play and what play can do, which is a lot of stuff you've been through already, Yeti.
Yeah.
Well, we got relieve stress, improve brain function, yeah, stimulate the mind, and boost creativity, which is an interesting one for me because I need a constant supply of ideas really for the work I'm doing.
So where do you get those from? Do they come out the ether, or do you go hunting for them? Or?
They come out the ether probably because, you know, I'll get a project in and say, I don't know, like a logo design needs doing. I'll almost instinctively have an idea in my head before I start drawing stuff on my computer.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of trying to realise that picture in my head, which just pop. Yeah. It's not always right, to be fair. You know, sometimes I'll second or third idea.
I get this thing. We were talking about mindfulness and meditation earlier on. And when you sit down to meditate, for me, it's a process that kind of goes inward. So that the first process is relaxation. You relax your system. The second process is contemplation. Then you get concentration. Then you get meditation. It goes inwards like that. But the contemplative part, contemplative part, is that the word?
Of
sitting down like that, I use that when I'm writing. So before I write a chapter, I will sit down like I'm meditating, close my eyes and relax, and then I will contemplate what it is I'm going to do before I do it.
Yeah.
And that's like me doing the running thing. And I think that to play with ideas and to let them bounce around in that contemplation in your mind is a really powerful way of having like a brainstorm, you know, or a thought shower or whatever we call it these days. that kind of idea that you can kick it around a bit and play with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the play for me in that is that it's not goal-driven. I haven't got to do something. I can just play with ideas and I can let my imagination be completely bonkers.
Cool.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, the other thing is, which we've hinted at, play. You know, a lot of people will schedule in their play as adults, when we will say, right, I will schedule my play this week between 8 and 9 p.m. I will play squash with my pals on a Thursday night.
Yeah. Yeah, we organise play.
So, for better or for worse, you know, at least we're making an effort. And one of the byproducts of that can be the kind of the connection with other people. So the kind of intellectual play can be quite an individual thing. But
you stuck up a list here, which I think is really relevant. It's like playing and moving your system relieves stress.
Yeah.
That's true. Doesn't matter what the form of play is, and you're going to get an endorphin response to that, which means that you get the happy hormones coming in.
Yeah.
And if you're doing a bit of physical movement, that does equal things like it will relieve pain because you get the right endorphins flowing in your system. If you sit down all day, you get stiff, and we know sitting down is not good for you.
Yeah.
So like moving your body around is going to have to be good. Improved brain function, well, we know about that in the new brain cells, is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this one is really, really important. If you stimulate your mind on a regular basis, then you boost creativity. You become a more creative, effective person.
Yeah,
because, and that quote you got down here about, you know, young children, they're playing. Mm. And in playing, they're boosting their creativity and they're learning, because that's what learning's about, isn't it? And maybe we use these concepts of, like, do we become an adult when we stop playing, or do we, you know, how does that work? Maybe we should be thinking of things like when we become an adult, in that classic sense, it's easy to stop being creative, you know, to stop learning new things, to become into these fixed routines.
Yep.
Yeah, and maybe playing makes us look at things in another way, gets us out of our box.
I think you're right there. Yeah, it's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah. Obviously, the thing about improving relationships, because if you're playing, the chances are you're going to be playing with other people. One of the things that fascinates me about football, I'm threatening to go to my first football match. That's an interesting concept. I think it's the 1st of November that we're going to watch Everton.
Of course. Yeah. So it might be that. Yeah.
Yeah. Now and I've never been to a football match before, so this will be a new experience.
Yeah, I'll get a few
brain cells from that. The thing that fascinates me in it, as I was thinking about it, and we're talking about play, is, are the people that are watching the people playing football, are they playing?
Mm.
Is that play?
Well, you'll soon find out, but I think you'll find because I've been to quite a few hundred games in my time. I used to go watch Tranmere all the time.
Yeah.
Down the road.
Yeah.
But yeah, they are. You know, people get so involved from the side, you know. Not always in a positive way. In fact, rarely in a positive way. It's only if a goal is scored.
Yeah.
And most of the rest of the time, it's kind of shouting and hurling abuse at the referee and either the opposition players for maybe looking slightly overweight or to their own players for not putting enough effort in or making the slightest of errors.
So is that play, or does that fall into this definition of work? Is it becoming too serious because we've got to get these goals in?
I don't know. You're going to have to interview some of the people you see. Yeah. You'll see some characters. There'll be someone in and around your little part of the stadium that is exceptionally vocal, I'm sure, and everyone will watch them. So that could be a form of play at a football game as well, just watching that one person. Because we used to have, funnily enough, when the bit I used to sit out with my dad, our postman used to go and delivering the post. He's the quietest man, really shy guy, but he'd sit a few rows in front of us to the right, and at Tranmere he would just get so vocal and he'd be shouting his head off, standing up, and everyone would like point and laugh at him because he's getting so into it. I didn't expect it at all, so that's where our enjoyment came from.
Yeah,
and you know, Tranmere would win every now and again and score, and it was pretty cool.
Part of my play in life is watching people.
Yeah,
I really enjoy that. It's fun for me. Well, and I understand then. So
enjoy
it'd be
the game,
good. Yeah, I'll be watching the people and not the game.
Yeah, making notes and all sorts.
Yeah,
you'll probably make match of the day. They'll have some cameras zoomed in. Who's this guy with his pen and paper?
But it's like that, isn't it? It's like a psychologist is someone who observes other people doing normal things.
Yeah.
So the psychologist is the abnormal person because they're observing normal people.
Mm.
Yeah, and psychiatrists are even weirder because they observe the psychologist because they study abnormal behaviour, not normal behaviour. So,
so there'll be someone there watching you.
Yeah, yeah.
What's this guy doing?
Yeah, is it? Yeah. But I think that if whatever your form of play is, and I suppose that anyone that's listening to this, you have to ask yourself, when did you last play?
Yeah.
When, you know, and what is playing for you? Mm. Because it could be that you regularly go and do badminton, but that's not play at all. It's a pain in the backside. You know, it's not enjoyment. Because that's the key, is that this word fun and play have to go together.
Mm.
You know, if it doesn't make you feel good or make you laugh, give you a sense of well-being, what's the point?
Yeah, that's what it comes down to, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things I'm very aware of with Everton, and don't want to offend any Everton fans here, but Everton don't seem to be at the top of the leagues, whatever they're called, the tables.
No, no. Yeah? I mean, yeah, they're solid, but yeah, they're not.
But it's almost as though Everton supporters accept the fact that they're not at the top. And when they lose or something like that, they go, well, yeah, it's just Everton, isn't it? Mm. And they seem to be very kind of easy about it. Whereas my experience around here of people that support Liverpool are serious. That's different. It's a different kind of feeling. Everton's kind of easy and, yeah, OK. And Liverpool's, like, really mad. And you know, we were the referee stole the goals from us, you know, that kind of
thing. Yeah, well, that's an interesting dynamic in our area. You know, I grew up kind of watching that and observing it because I was, you know, I watched Tranmere and I didn't really care too much about Liverpool. But Liverpool had that era in the 80s and early 90s when they were just dominant in nationally and in Europe. You know, they were just winning everything. And then along came Man United and the Premier League and Chelsea and Man City and Arsenal and just...
So is that why Liverpool and Manchester are so antagonistic about each other?
I think it's part of it, yeah. I think the City right. rivalry extends a bit further back even, but...
Yeah, weird, yeah. Strange.
But, yeah.
So. Some last bits here. There's a guy called Stuart Brown, psychologist.
Yeah.
And he was doing research, and I love this bit of research. 6,000 people he interviewed, from Nobel Prize winners down to Texas murderers.
Cool.
And he was looking at the difference in people, and the difference between a murderer and everybody else in his research is that they didn't play. They didn't play as children. They were in situations where they were restricted, and they never learned the social skills and the intellectual skills of interaction.
Mm.
And the commonality that he found in his research was that if you don't play, then you don't get a balanced social framework and a social interaction, which puts you in that position of being outside of society.
Okay.
You know, so that play has a fundamental social role for all of us.
Well, you see it in the animal world as well. You know, I've seen plenty of nature documentaries where you see young lion cubs rolling around and nipping away at the big mummy and daddy and all that. And,
yeah.
You know, play is, for all animals, it looks like it's... or a lot of creatures.
But maybe animals like that learn. They're learning about catching their prey.
Yeah, totally.
By fighting each other. There's one bit of research also about adult rats. And adult rats that continue playing, that are in play environments, tend to be bolder, but they're relaxed about it. They're not aggressive.
Mm.
And I think that's quite interesting, is that if we relate that to human beings, I know it's a bit of a jump from rats to human beings, well, maybe not.
Yeah.
But that idea that maybe if you carry on playing and you're in that playing environment, that you do learn to be bolder and more assertive, but not aggressive.
Yeah.
You know, that's quite a powerful idea, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I can remember working years ago with someone who'd been playing squash, and they were a very aggressive person. I think squash is quite an aggressive game.
Yeah.
But they'd done a magic thing where they'd hit the ball so hard that their racket hit the wall and shattered, and the stem of the racket ended up sticking in their neck.
Ah.
And they nearly died, but it was... but that was aggression, yeah.
Blimey.
Yeah.
Pretty serious, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, no, well, you know, I can see with my two lads already, and more so with Will playing with, because he's got a pal over the way from us that he plays with every night. He or her will knock on the door after tea. Can William come out? And all that. So it's awesome. But you know, we have to keep an eye on them. They're not going to start killing each other, but they'll play just beyond that point because they're getting quite competitive. And you know, tears will start, and we've got to kind of calm things down. So it's just like, yeah. We're always pushing the limits, we human beings, aren't we?
Yeah, but that's evolution, I guess.
Mm.
You know, and one of the things that I like, and I think this probably comes back to play as well, is that we have this idea of evolution through selection, that which is a very male idea, that people that are the most aggressive maybe win. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And there's a female alternative emerging about an idea of how we evolved. And rather than evolving through this kind of competition idea, which is very male, the female point of view is that we evolve through cooperation. Mm. And it puts a completely different slant on human interactions, all interactions. You know?
Yeah.
The idea that... a bird and a flower cooperated together to create something that both fed the bird but also spread the seeds of the flower. Do you know what I mean? Or okay. Fertilise the flower. That sure. Kind of thing, yeah? Or even all the bugs that live in our bodies, we cooperate. You know, the bugs in our gut give us good gut flora that keeps us healthy.
Sure.
But we've evolved together by cooperating together.
Interesting.
Yeah. True.
Interesting. All right. You've got a resource for us.
My resource is dead simple. It's like, what is it that you need to do to make your play, and then go and do it. And if that means going and buying a compendium, if it means loading up crosswords, if it means getting some mates together and starting a dance class or going and doing yoga or whatever it is that floats your boat, do it. But the key is fun. Yeah, but you have to do it, and that's good words, isn't it? Have to. You need to do it on a regular basis. You know, this idea, like you're saying, you know, as an adult, we have to arrange Wednesday night can be our play night, and maybe it has to be like that, but we need to fit it in.
Yep.
You know, the idea of having parties, and some parties are organised and some parties are spontaneous. And it's there's a magic thing in that spontaneity.
Mm.
There's a group of you, and you just, you know, you pop a cork and you get some food on, you know, and you have a party. You know, you have a get together.
Yep.
Which is to me always so much easier than an organised, serious, we're going to get together next Wednesday kind of stuff. Yeah.
Definitely.
But that's good. Yeah.
Okay. Go. So, mine is another nod to calm.com because they've just released an advert, which I don't think will be playing in the UK yet on TV, but I'm not sure. but it's supposed to be the most relaxing advert in the history of the world. Well, of TV. It's basically 2 minutes of just serene scenes and no voice at all. But calm.com's coming on quite nicely by the looks of it. Little nod to them as well. So
yeah.
And can we have play? Can we be at play whilst meditating and whilst in that?
Yeah. But that's a classic thing again, isn't it? If people approach meditation as work, then it's a pain in the backside. You know, it becomes serious and I've got to achieve this. Oh, I'm thinking,
why can't I relax?
As opposed to just playing with it.
Yeah.
And if your mind wanders off somewhere, okay, let it come back again. You know, but it doesn't become work. It's play.
Mm.
And I think that's, you know, we talked ages ago about the idea about, do you and I go to work? And we don't really. You know, I mean, I haven't been to work for years. I get up and live my life. And it's fun. I enjoy it. And I get paid for some of it. And some of it I don't. That's okay.
Sometimes you get paid in logs and...
Yeah.
Keep you warm in the winter.
Yeah. It's good. It's good fun. I mean, it's good enjoying being alive. But my life isn't work. My life is fun. Yeah. It's good.
Yeah, I'm getting there as well, I think. It's all looking pretty good, but... All right, cool.
Yeah, I'm cool.
All right, livingthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links. There'll be a few this week, and there's plenty from our previous 121 episodes as well. You lucky things. Next week we're talking about desensitisation a little bit. We've had a listener email in, Sarah, who will tell her story and take it from there. But yeah, interesting one, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Sean, you have a good week.
And you. Be happy.
Be healthy. See you later.
See ya. Bye.